oh, man, maybe I did mess up on that, and then a place for you to go. Okay? Say, maybe I need to stabilize this out, or maybe I need to get secure on here, or maybe I need to get a little stronger. There, I want to give you a place to go that was okay. All right? So, again, an interesting demographic on here. We'll go ahead to the next slide on here, moving through fear and loss. The last question is, how can I help you? How can I really make a difference? So my role on here is, I've seen my role most of my life as a compass. Really, it's a voice or a personalized GPS. Wouldn't it be exciting to have a compass or a GPS that you could just hold it in your hand like that, and it's okay, this is where you need to go financially, this direction. Should I buy this investment? Should I buy this house? Should I buy this car? This is the direction I need to go. Or how about a moral compass? We live in a very amoral society, an immoral society. And wouldn't it be exciting to have a moral compass? I mean, literally, the power of the magnetic north compass, you put it here and it just points you in the right direction. Or how about a values compass? To have a values compass, you have to know what you value. Or a priorities compass. And what happens is our values and priorities sometimes don't line up with our time and money and energy. You with me on that? Our values don't line up with time, money, and energy. And we spend too much time working, and then when you work too much, it messes up your relationship with kids and stuff. So my role is to help you find your compasses. You need compasses to navigate through the four areas of your life, the logical, the emotional, the spiritual, relational. You need to have a foundation. And somewhere in this book here, this blue book or that representation of that blue diamond, there is direction in all those areas. And this last section is, I want to take a picture of where you're at, you know, in your life. But not just financially, but where you're at. You know, the section I taught about identity, does it help you understand that maybe my identity wasn't in the right area on it? So taking a picture is very important, a snapshot where you're at. Where you're at today, February 7th at 12:13, where are you at in those areas? So we want to keep moving forward on that. I'm going to give you a visual map of what the end result looks like, called the five financial basics. And hopefully I can provide direction and hope for you to move through today. And then the next slide on your role, you need to find the energy to move forward. Physically, literally, the energy to move forward. What I found is when great stress overwhelms me, we have a tendency to be paralyzed and to become stagnant and just like deer in a headlight, to just freeze. That's a horrible place to be in. And literally, you might have to have someone, that two or three men or women, women with women, men with men, that can grab you and pull you out of the way of the car coming at you on there. You need to have the energy. You need to fight for and find the energy to move forward. And again, I shifted my phraseology from moving through to moving forward. Find the courage to move forward, which is a heart issue. If your heart is so broken and so wounded or so rebellious or so lost, I'm here to tell you that there is hope, because you have not seen a man that has been more broken or more wounded or hurt or disillusioned than the one sitting before you. You have to find the courage, and if you don't have the courage, find those brothers, those true brothers, those true warriors, those true knights that would stand beside you and say, he's down, I need to step in and help him. This is not a lone ranger. This is not an island unto themselves. And how many women would like to have a man, your man, your husband, have those kind of relationships? Because I sure know that you don't understand us. Am I with you on that? And men, we're mostly clueless about you girls. The third thing is, find the mindset to move forward, which is a focus issue. Man, I get so focused, I'm just sometimes terrible, but it's got to be the right kind of focus. So that's the only thing that I see as your role for today, is energy, courage, and mindset. So if you say, how do I pray after what this Imhoff gave me, all this data, pray for those three things right there. Physically, you have to physically do something. I usually do pleaser, PLESR. Physically, there's something physically I'm going to ask you to do and move through all those. Moving through fear and loss, I'm going to give you the laws right up front on this one, which is the law of end result, which is to begin with the end result in mind, which means, what do you want it to look like? If everything went right for the next 3 years or 5 years, well, I think you said 10 years, what would it look like if you were there? If you're already there, would your house be paid off? Would your cars be paid for? You know, I could care less about your past. I really do. I don't care about your past. Where are you at right now today, and how can I move you forward? Okay, because I can't change your past as how it happened, but I can change how you look at your past. Okay, don't let your past be the albatross. Don't let your past be the anchor that's holding you back. Don't let your past be the excuse saying, oh, I can't do this or I can't do that. Don't let that happen. So you begin with the end result in mind, which is, since you don't know what that is, I'm going to actually give you that on the five financial bases. I'm going to give you a financial end result. Okay? And then this one here is a very, very important one. It's called the law of progression. And see, what that is, there's a natural process and a natural flow and sequence of events that begins and ends with everything. For example, I've had people that are Christians and say, well, I read this book and it said if I did that and this, I'd find favor, and I didn't find it. So picture, you've got a, right here, there's a train track going right down here. And on this train track, we got a train coming at 50 miles an hour, okay? And so I'm on the train or you're on the train, and it's coming 50 miles an hour. And at this point right here, I said, I'm going to trust God in all that I do. And so I surrender to God and I put the brakes on the train. And the train, 50 miles an hour, you know, 40 different cars behind it. And I made a decision right now to stop. What's that train keep doing? That's called the law of progression. Okay? And it goes. And what happens is the train's down here. That God thing doesn't work. I made a decision back there and it doesn't work. I'm so mad at God. I'm not going to do this. It doesn't work. And the train keeps going. And see, what happens is there's a natural law of progression for the decisions that you've made in your finances. If you're going through hard times and you're losing your home, there's a law of progression. You made a decision, things happened in the past that you can't really change or throw, but you can move forward and move through it. So what it is, there's a process to go from here to here, and we just have to deal with it. If you're divorced or going through a divorce, it's right here, and there's a process that goes from here to here. There's a process of credit card debt. There's a process to go from this point to that point. If you understand the natural law of progression in everything, I want to make sure that the focus is right and that it's not, you know, most of our lives where it's been, if we look at our lives financially, emotionally, all these areas on here, it's a train wreck. And I'm coming up on a train wreck and I'm doing triage. What can I save? What can I save? How do I move forward? So understand, again, if you have these two things on moving forward now, not just through, moving forward, there's a law of progression. And there's a lot of, like, losing houses and all that stuff. It's, do your lifeline, good, bad on it, and we're going to make it more, maybe today could be a defining moment in your life. Make today a defining moment in your life. Okay? Next slide. Write down these three things. I'm not going to do these today. I'm just going to tell you what they are. The three-minute drill is this. This is how do you define what your values are. When 9/11 happened, September 11th of 2001, can you tell me where you were at that day it happened? At 9-something in the morning, can you tell me where you're at, who you're with, and what was going on in your life? Were you there? Did you see the second plane crash into the thing? I mean, my wife called me. I was with a pastor, praying for an evangelist pastor, working with him on how does he move forward in his thing. And then you won't believe it. There's something's going on. And I turn the TV, and the second plane crashes into it. I could tell you from that point on, and they have the national crisis began. Can you tell me, what did you do on 9/11? What happened on 9/11? And that day will give you an idea of what you value. My first question to Ruth was, where is Jameson? He's at school, okay? I just want to know where he's at. My second phone call is I called my father. Dad, where are you at? You see what's going on? Are you okay? So, you know, that 9/11 will give you an idea of where your values are. Because suddenly, I saw on Congress, our government, all of them singing these biblical songs together, united, because, I mean, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, together, unified as Americans, working together. Christians on their knees, begging for God's mercy. Where were you 9/11? That will give you an idea of your values. There's a process that takes like 10, 12, 15 minutes. I'm not going to do that. That's the first process. The second thing is called the Andrew Drill, which establishes your priorities. Short version of the story. In that, if we're sitting here all of a sudden, there's a casket that comes rolling up here, and the casket's right here, and it's only I can see who's in the casket. And there was a show one time called Touched by an Angel. I don't know if you ever heard of it. But they're touched by an angel. There's a guy named Andrew. When Andrew showed up, what did that mean? Someone's going to die. Okay? So right now, a casket comes in, opens up. is like, oh my goodness. And you guys can't see who is it, who's in there. And Andrew shows up in the back corner. And I'm thinking, and we all know Andrew is the death angel, so what's going to happen? And so what Andrew did is he takes each person, walks each person's room, comes up, turns around, and everyone has the same response. They look and say, oh my goodness. And everyone in the room does that. And so the 3 minutes that you have from here, you come around, you see the person in the coffin is you. You have two minutes to write a letter to people in your life. 2 minutes. Probably should do that right now. Here, well, let's do that for a minute and 30 seconds. So right now, you just realize you come up here around the coffin, you look, and here's the death angel says, you're dead and gone. You got 2 minutes to write a letter, and I'll give it to her. What would you say if you had 2 minutes before you're gone? Go. Who are you going to write? You have 2 minutes. And see, I can't take any letters that you don't write. Do you have anyone that you want to say I'm sorry to? Do you have anything you want to say to your children? Anything you want to say to your father? I mean, you're dead. You're gone. What are you going to do? You have a minute and 15 seconds. What's important to you? The mother over here no longer has her father because her husband's dead. The husband over here no longer has a mother because the mother's dead. What would you say to each other? What would Susan say to her 5 kids? What would you say? You have about 55 seconds. Time's almost up. Andrew, the death angel, is going to take you to heaven or hell. Is anyone that you care about telling? You're dead. Okay, go ahead and stop. Put the pens down because you can't write anymore. Did that make anybody uncomfortable? Did anyone write, "Dear boss, I'm not going to be in Monday"? Okay, priorities. See, the thing on this being uncomfortable, even though you say this is silly, I'm here to tell you, I've had fathers that have not talked to their children in 7, 8, and 10 years sit where you're sitting. And those that did it, weeping, and literally, as soon as the class was done, running out of the classroom and saying, you need to call your daughter. And I've seen restoration of broken father-daughter relationships, mother-son, mother-daughter relationships broken because they did this silly drill. If you have regrets in your life, because there will come a day that your clock, your battery will stop moving and running. And if you can identify your priorities and your values, you'll live your life on purpose instead of accidentally, and it'll start having meaning. Absorb what I just said. So these two drills deal with your past. This next one on here is a 36-month drill, if you had 36 months to live, what would you do different between now and the next 36 months? And you write it down. Is there any dream vacations? Would you care about losing your job? Would you care about making $1 million or saving $1 million if you knew that you had 36 months to live? My best friend's wife had 90 days to live, and she lived 93 days. I believe the reason she lived those extra days is she wanted to see her second grandchild birthed, and she was able to hold the second grandbaby. You know, barely. She didn't have much strength, but she held that second grandbaby. So if you had a terminal illness, and see here, we have this terminal illness called life. We're mortal. We will die. The key is to die under God's timing, not in any other terms. And that's how you move into the future. Okay. This next thing on here, this next slide, is identifying when you make a decision, I'm going to move forward. You're going to face a battle and an enemy on here. So there's this thing about in Galatians, it's got the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit. I mean, it's got these, you know, foot things and stuff. When you look at the armor of God has no protection for your backside. So if you're running into a problem and you turn around, you're in trouble. You were created to go into battle head on. Does that make sense? So why would God tell us to face it? In 2 Chronicles 20, it talks about this battle is not yours to fight, but you have to do this, which is praise and worship me. And then so 2 Chronicles 20, I'm not going to go there right now. It's about this battle is not yours. The situation you're in right now, today, this minute, this week, this weekend, this next weekend, this battle is of God. But you need to do your part, which is praise and worship him. I hate that part when I don't feel like praising and worship God. I hate it, but I need to do it. So these are the weapons. If you're going to go into another area, the weapons are guilt. Let me see. I got to get another page of notes. So the weapons, if you understand, what are the weapons that are going to be used against you? Guilt, it's a weapon of control and manipulation. It focuses on your weaknesses, your shortfalls, your past, what you've done wrong, and what you haven't done or haven't done. So how do you overcome the guilt? Is only through grace. The weapon, does anyone have guilt? My mom was brilliant at the guilt weapon. Okay, brilliant. She was a master manipulator. Okay, anyone else? Anyone have a boss, employer? Worry. Something might happen, lack of control, uncontrolled thoughts. So if you're a controller, a control freak, you're going to be a worrier. And you will never really enjoy this thing called life. And the only way that you can overcome worry, they cannot exist in the same space, is worship. You know, I'm like a warrior. But you can worship in how you work. You can be honest in your work. You cannot steal. You cannot, you know, steal the time of your employer. There's ways that you can worship. I can worship on the soccer field as a coach. It's not just in this room or building out here that we call church. The weapons going to be used against you is guilt and worry, fear, not knowing versus the truth. And how do you overcome that? That's faith. Lost, logical, emotional, spiritual, relational, on there, falls under God's umbrella of favor and blessing. So how do you overcome loss? Is that there's an umbrella of blessing, and we want to get underneath that umbrella of protection from God. Logic. Intellect, your understanding versus God's perspective. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, because we're not smart enough to have any idea or clue. That's kind of paraphrased a little bit. Yeah, in all your ways, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. See, logic and God don't make sense. He had Gideon that had 30,000 warriors, and he says, that's too many. So he goes down, and then goes from 30 to 10,000. It was already, you know, numbers weren't good. And he went, he said, 10,000 is too many. And he took him down to how many? 300. And then what's even worse, he didn't give him swords. He gave him, like, just pots and pans and stuff. God's not logical. The numbers don't work with God. And I love that part. That means abundant blessing can happen this quick and be a thousandfold return, like the feeding of the fish. Thousandfold, instantaneous, multiplied. Get that. Instantaneous, multiplied, thousandfold blessing. Does anyone need that in their life this weekend? I do. On the financial side. Okay? Your past is a weapon that gives a focus on your faults, your mistakes, your failures. But there's something about Jeremiah 29 about the future and hope thing. Coveting, wanting what you don't have versus thankfulness. Envy, wanting to be someone else versus thankfulness. Jealousy, wanting what someone else has or seeking what you want versus what God wants for you. How you conquer? Thankfulness, thankfulness, thankfulness. If there's character virtue traits that God really wants, or this one and the next one, which is pride versus self-centered versus God-centered, which is humility. success, which is personal dependence, versus God dependence, which is humility. So pride and success is self-centered and personal versus God-centered and God-dependent. And why we used to get stuck in fear and loss is because we are on the wrong side of that column. Greed, wanting more, insatiable and inward. You know, in the market today, there's bears, bulls, and pigs. And the pigs get slaughtered, and the pigs have been slaughtered. And how do you overcome greed? You give away what you have. Then unforgiveness, it holds on to offense, hurts, resentment, mistakes. The only way you get out of unforgiveness and those is forgiven. Or if the person doesn't receive your forgiveness, that's not your problem. Unbelief, convincing yourself that you can't, shouldn't, or won't versus belief. And disobedience, convincing yourself that you're right versus obedience. Again, these weapons on this side, you have to know, you have to understand, please understand, you're going, because you came here, and I'm trying to give you a little bit of hope and direction that's based in the Word of God, based in the life of God, based in a hope and a future in God, that Satan's going to, the sooner he can blow you up, maybe you can get in a fight with you and your spouse, or they can get a phone call before you even get out that second door out there. And understand that, you know, Kevin told me that was going to happen. Know that there's going to be a battle. And there's some things worth fighting for. Does that shock anyone that there's going to be a battle? Have you ever heard that there's spiritual battles out there? Have you ever heard of that? They're out there. Next one, the five financial basics. Okay, the five financial basics on here. Just go to the next slide on here. This section here, this is the visual drawing on here that I want to go. The second column in here is the income sources. So just picture, most of us only have earned income or Social Security income or pension income. You want to have multiple sources of income. Say you own different businesses that generate a little bit of check every month. We want to get to that point on there. And then we want to get our checking account. We want to get our checking account here, this one filled up with 2 weeks of take-home pay. And again, I'm not going to go over this. Susan knows how to do this. She can talk to her. So if you want to individually see how this is done, I just want to say there is a visual roadmap. But I'm here to tell you, I've done plans. I've seen plans that people pay $2,000 and $3,000 for, and it's a book that's 3 inches thick. I've seen plans that are 30, 40 pages long. And then I went and did this basic thing that I designed several years ago. And I'm here to tell you that people, you will remember this picture about, wouldn't it be exciting to have barrels full of money? To have this barrel full of, the checking account full, that barrel full of 2 months worth of cash, money, and then have a plan to have no debt, debt elimination, not debt management. Most people have debt management strategies. They don't have debt elimination strategies. Wouldn't that be exciting to have no non-housing debt right now today? Your car's paid for that are brand new or safe. Now, how about having your house paid off? Wouldn't it be exciting about today in this environment to have your house paid off or your rental properties paid off? So, again, on here, this is a plan that Susan can help on. And I just that's the end result picture that we're doing. Okay? All right, so again, is that fair enough? So there's a visual plan. You'll remember that visual plan. It shows you how many weeks to get it set up, to months, to years. It's a 3-year plan to get you totally out of debt, of non-housing debt in 3.5 years, pay your home off in less than 7 years. And you say, what? Yep. The Word of God, Deuteronomy 15:1-11, was released of debt every 7 years. So I believe and stand on that verse, and I believe it's possible. I believe that you can do it. I've done it myself. I've helped dozens and dozens of people pay their homes off in less than 7 years. So since you didn't receive it, I'll say, okay, here we go, 10 years. Or 15 years. Whatever you believe, you can conquer. But I'll just have Susan, you do that. Is that all right? We'll soon get through that. So the visuals, that part. Now the last part on here, which is how to move forward. And this is my summary. So if you can, just go ahead and stand up for 10 seconds. Just stand up, stretch your leg just for a second, because we're in the last 3 pages and we're done. Just take a deep breath and just say, I'm ready to receive. I'm ready to learn and move forward. Let me just loosen those legs up a little bit on here. Okay, so let's go ahead and move into the last part. There's 3 key words to move forward: acceptance and move on. Go ahead and have a chair. And this part on here, because I really don't know where you came from. I just know that you're here and you listen to me for 3.5 hours now. And it's time for a new day. It's time for a new beginning. It's time for a new future. It's time for a new hope. It's time for a new direction. It's time for new relationships. Are you with me on that? Is there anyone in this room that's ready for that? some kind of new restoration, some kind of new beginning, some kind of new future, a future designed and related and built around the Almighty Creator. So there's a lot of bad going on, truly bad in your life that cause pain and anguish and hurt. And see, this is what somehow you need to find the courage to embrace these or have other people help you, that they have the courage for you to embrace this and help you through this. That means like bear one another's burdens and stuff. That's not a pile of it. That's a true thing. How do you do it? This is how you do it. I'm trying to make the Bible come alive in a very horrible time in our culture. So how do you move forward? Accept responsibility. So whatever happens, take your part, take responsibility. If you had a role in your incomplete memory, because if there's a pain in your past, there's something we have that's unfinished, haven't dealt with, and your pain might be right now. How can you get through it? For me, it took over 2 years to get through the depth of the wound, because there's so many wounds and arrows and knives and just unbelievable stuff that you would never think would happen in a community called church. Oh, you guys might understand that a little bit. All you can say is, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and then do it and move on. That's how you accept responsibility. Accept forgiveness. If someone asks for your forgiveness, accept it and move on. Don't have to like it, just accept it and move on. Accept that evil exists. Bad things happen to good people. Do you believe that? I believe it. I mean, you know, sir, I believe that there's bad things happen. You have to accept that. I don't have to like it, but fight with every fiber in you that not to let this tragedy or bad situation define you. That might be a good one for some people who have lost a job. It has not defined you. Your biography, if Moses' biography was done after he murdered the guy in Egypt, would that biography have been accurate? No! It would not have been accurate. If Joseph's biography was done when he was thrown in the pit, would his biography been complete? No. If Jesus' biography was done when he was dying on the cross, it wouldn't have been done. It wouldn't have been complete. So evil exists. So you have to simply accept that process and move on. Accept that the event happened. You don't have to like what happened. Just accept it. Start on. We had some bad things happen in some real estate businesses. You know, it happened. Who would ever thought that the world markets would collapse and lose 50-60% of value in resort area properties? Who would have thought that? You have to accept it and move on. Accept, here's a big one, offense. Take the arrow out, set it down, and say, and it's not weak to tell someone, you know what, that offended me. I don't like it, but I'm not going to carry it with me. Offense is like a poison. If you drink poison, or if I, you know, I have some snakes, if you carry it with you, it's never, if you keep drinking, every time someone offends you, you drink some more poison, will you ever get healthy and live? The answer is no. Accept your choices, good and bad, and move on. Accept your decisions, past decisions, good and bad, and move on. Accept your gifts and limitations. And this is very, very difficult for some of us because you might be in an area that's totally outside of your gifts and outside of where you should be, and you know it. You need to stop fighting and move in them. Move on and into your gifts. Accept your passion. Stop fighting and move in. My passion is writing and teaching, and I have not taught. I mean, can you believe it? I used to teach 3 times a week for almost 18 years, and I stopped teaching totally. And this is the first time I've had a hard time even coming in any building that said the word C-H-U-R-C-H in front of it. I didn't want to be in the building. So really, again, doesn't make it right. It just made it hurt. I mean, that one hurt. So it's accept your passion, accept your assignment. Stop complaining. Give your best effort and attitude. Learn what you need to move on. The place that you're at is a tool that you need to learn some skills that you can move into your gifting. So look, what is at my assignment, my job? I'm supposed to learn how to forgive or work or do this skill or that skill. I'm accepted and move on. Accept your assignment. Because wouldn't that make the attitude better in your workplace if people accepted where they're at? And then accept your purpose. There's a purpose for your life right now today, February 7th. Stop hiding from it, pursue it, and move into it. I hope that some people in this room have the courage to accept your purpose. I mean, I believe that I was created to coach. I believe I was created to write. And I stopped writing and focused on coaching. I think I need to do both. So accept your purpose and move on. And then this next one, accept your season. There are many seasons in life. Accept the one you're in. Learn to enjoy it, grow in, and move through it. Joseph was in a season where he got taken from the favor of his father, thrown into a pit, put into a servant of this guy named Potiphar in a slavery position, teed off the wife because he wouldn't sleep with the wife, gets falsely accused again, gets thrown into shackles and fetters, chains and stuff, and then he's in a prison system. He didn't like it, but he learned two very, very valuable lessons. He learned the skills to run a household. He learned the skills how to run an institution. But he also learned the skills of forgiveness and trust. So accept your season that you're in, accept the training. Those are the two on that. And see, this next one on here is a monster one, and just a few more and I'm done. Again, this is for you to move through and move forward. You have to accept that Jesus did not come to overcome. Jesus did not come to earth to prevent evil. He came to overcome evil. The loss of jobs is not healthy. The loss of houses, the loss of relationships. The loss of your hope is more devastating than the loss of your house. Right? See, to me, it's unquestionably more difficult to trust in someone than to believe in someone. Boy, do I believe in Jesus. I believe that everything that he did was true. I believe it wasn't a story that he walked on water. I believe that he healed people. I believe that. I believe that he died for me. I don't understand it. But to have him trust him with my pain, to trust him with my betrayal, to trust him with my anger, to trust him with my past, with my future, I'm not very good at trusting. I'm still a student of that. Life is not designed to be fair. It's not designed to be comfortable. It's not to even be nice or even fun. It's not designed to be that, because if that was true, then most of the world would not be fulfilled. You don't have to like it or understand it. You just have to live with it. Accepting things beyond your control without blaming other people is crucial in your new life. If you start blaming your employer, your boss, you're not going to go down a path of long time of anguish and poison and garbage in your life. I believe that God gave man free will to choose between good and evil. It's not God's fault that things happen. It's because man chooses evil versus God. Evil is the absence of God's presence. I don't understand God's ways, but I know that there are ways that I believe that there's a healthy living in God's ways. I believe that has a different perspective. So people say, where was God when evil happened? Where was God when I lost my job? Where was God when all these things happened? When my child was raped or my client's child was raped. Where was God when that happened? And my hope and belief is that he was beside them and bringing them comfort, mercy, grace, and showing them a love like no other. I used to hate, in Genesis 37, when Joseph was put into Potiphar's position in his household, run a household, he says, the Lord was with Joseph and made him a very successful man. And then he gets falsely accused, and God, and he gets, his wife wanted to sleep with Joseph. He said no. Gets falsely accused. Potiphar gets mad, which he could have killed him, but he didn't. And he put him in the prison. And it says, the Lord was with Joseph and showed mercy on him. And I hated that verse. I said, he was falsely accused. It's not right. It's wrong. It's an injustice. Stand up and do your God thing. Write on the rock in your finger and, say, he didn't do it. And then I realized when he said he showed mercy to him, it meant that he saved his life and didn't let Potiphar steal his life. And that humility that he learned in the prison gave him the character that he needed to run a nation and save a nation. So, and then the last thing, accept your unfinished memory as it was a gift. My wife about threw up when I told her that one. The unfinished memory of what's happened to us. Accept it as a gift from God, as a tool of humility. If I was being refined in gold, refined in silver they say that it has to get a temperature so hot that you can see it, that all the garbage comes off it, you see a reflection, that's when you know that it's done. And the unfinished memories of our past, the pain of our past, when I look at my mom's death as a gift of understanding life, Lou Gehrig's disease, how it steals the dignity of a human being, and I saw how a man could love a woman under a great adversity, how my father loved his wife of 40-some years, I saw that there's death and dignity in death, not through suicide during, like the Jack Kevorkian was real big during that time period. There is grace and skills that you can learn right after death. So I look at my mom's death as a gift. That's a finished memory that I put in my memory data bank, which I can recall that memory because my memory bank is filled with data, which is with my head. My heart is the memory bank of my emotions and my feelings. And if you don't process them, you won't be able to move forward in any of your life, let alone in your finances. And accept this, you cannot unmemory something or someone. You can reframe that memory as Alexander the Great did, and you can and take that unfinished memory and put it into a memory, into your memory bank. So with that, the last, there should be one more slide which says just thoughts. Did you take that off? Okay. Okay, that's fine. It was just notes up there. So in finishing up on here, thank you for the grace to allow me to at least share the whole presentation. It's 45 minutes longer than I thought. Actually, probably the breaks in between kind of threw me off. But let me set this down. And in finishing up on here, did you give away the last coins? Okay. Three questions. What do you want? Where is your heart at? And how can I help you? I hope that you have some tools today that you can take to move forward. I'm going to be here tomorrow. I'll be here if you have any questions after today. And I'll be here tomorrow, the services, and then tomorrow night for questions and answers. So if you have questions or answers, it's going to be more of a sit-down, what questions do you have on here, and how do you move through it. So it can be, I can be very technical on any kind of business, money, financial questions that you have. But I'm also, I wanted to, if I had the right, if a group of people that get their heart right here can change this entire county. It doesn't take, I mean, thousands. This room here could change the mindset if you start embracing some of these principles. So with that, I truly hope that you have an understanding that I came to give you direction and hope and to give you a hug in your spirit. To say, you know what, you're going to be fine. What you think is a bad thing on your lifeline, it's underneath it, it's going to try and be one of the best things that ever happened to you. So I really thank you for giving me a chance to talk to you, and thank you. I'll be here today.